And there's a third offering that we give to him. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, the sacrifice of praise. I wonder if I realize as much as I should that when I'm in the gathering of God's people, when the priests have come together and we're singing to the Lord, what he wants is what he told me in Colossians, singing with grace in my heart to the Lord. Offering up the sacrifice of praise. In the assembly of God's people, the priests are offering up the sacrifice of praise. They're not entertaining each other. They're not showing off their talents. I don't think God is very concerned about the quality of my voice, but he is interested in the quality of my heart. Offering up the sacrifice of praise. Did you ever ask yourself the question, why do Christians sing? Well, we're commanded to, that's true. The example in Scripture is very strong, that's true. You know why we sing? Because God sings. Our God is a singing God. That's why people who worship idols don't sing. Idols have mouths, they can't say anything. They have ears, they can't hear. But our God is a singing God. Oh, you look so skeptical. Find the little book of Zephaniah in the Old Testament. The little book of Zephaniah. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. And when you found the little book of Zephaniah, find chapter 3. And let me read to you verse 17. You say, I didn't even know this verse was in the Bible. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. This is a picture of a loving father who has a little child who's afraid. And so he takes him in his arms and he quiets the child with his love. And he sings to the child. God the Father sings. Now God the Son sings. When our Lord was here on earth and he had the Passover with his disciples, the scriptures say, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out. But even more, on resurrection morning, according to Psalm 22 and Hebrews chapter 2, our Lord Jesus sang a hymn of praise unto God. So God the Son sings. Does God the Holy Spirit sing? Yes. How? Through us. Through us. Don't be drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How can you tell if you're filled with the Spirit? You're joyful, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God sings to the Father and the Son through the priesthood, through the church. Now we know what psalms are. That's the Old Testament book of Psalms. And for many years, the church only sang the psalms. But there are hymns. Those are songs addressed to God based on the scriptures. And then there are spiritual songs, which are songs addressed to one another or to God. And he says we're supposed to use all three. Did you know that? The priesthood, when it gathers together, is to address God through the Holy Spirit using psalms. And so we can sing songs that are based on the psalms. Some of our praise choruses, the good ones, are based on the psalms. I love to sing them. There are hymns, such as we've been singing at our conference. There are spiritual songs addressed to one another. And we're supposed to use all three. Sometimes we get out of balance. We bring to him the sacrifice of praise. Now, while we are in Hebrews chapter 13, we ought to notice another sacrifice we're supposed to bring. Verse 16, Hebrews 13, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. The dear people who have been working in the kitchen, baking and cooking, have been offering a sacrifice to God. This was true in the school that I attended. For 5 years, I ate in their dining room. Sometimes we had burnt offerings, but it was a Japanese couple that did our cooking at school, and they offered us. It was a work of praise to God. God doesn't call everybody to preach or play an instrument or write books or paint pictures. When a mother cares for her children and does good for her children, she's offering up a sacrifice to God. When you stop by the house of a retired person and pick him up and bring him to church, you're offering a sacrifice to God. And so we offer to him as a priesthood our bodies and our praise. The people we seek to win to Christ and do win to Christ, the good works that we perform. The Old Testament talks about some sacrifices for the priesthood. Psalm 51. Now you know Psalm 51, David's confession of sin. And in that psalm he says this, "You don't desire sacrifices, or I'd bring them." David was a wealthy man. He could have brought hundreds of sacrifices. He says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Have you ever brought God the sacrifice of your broken heart? The Lord Jesus said, "I've come to heal the brokenhearted." And the only way he can heal a broken heart is if you bring all the pieces to him as a sacrifice. I suppose everybody here who's lived any length of time has had a broken heart. Some of us were chatting this morning about the tragedy of people that you win to the Savior, you believe they're truly born again, and then they begin to drift, and then years later you find out they're just not living for God at all. Breaks your heart. Breaks your heart. There are mothers and fathers heartbroken over their children. Grandmas and grandpas heartbroken over grandchildren. Pastors, broken hearts because of what people are doing in the church. And David says that's a sacrifice we bring to God. Now in David's case, he was bringing a heart that was broken because of sin. I have to pray that I will not get a hard heart. Oh, you say, how can a Christian preacher get a hard heart? Oh, yes, he can. And so can the listeners in the pews get hard hearts. When I was at seminary, I learned a wonderful lesson that I wasn't supposed to learn. But I happened to be a spectator at this. And I was sitting in the classroom, and our president was teaching the class, and he got up, and he was very disturbed. Now, ordinarily, he was self-controlled. He was very disturbed. He said, "I was walking across our little campus the other day, and at one end of the campus and at the other end were two friends calling to each other, 'Where are you going?' Oh, I have to go up on Madison Avenue and read over a stiff. In other words, conduct a funeral. And our president looked at us and said, if I ever hear any of you men talk like that, you'll hear from me. We don't read over stiffs. We comfort the brokenhearted. And even if we're the only one at that funeral, which was often the case in Chicago, we have a broken heart. It's easy for us to get routine, isn't it?
Yes.
Offering God the sacrifice of a broken heart. I wonder what would happen in church business meetings if, when we began the meeting with praise and worship, we all just brought God a broken heart. Might change some of the decisions we'd make. Psalm 141, the psalmist tells us that our prayers are a sacrifice to God. Verse 2, let my prayer be set for you, before you, as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. You see, when the Jews prayed, they lifted up their hands. And by the way, we are commanded to lift up holy hands. In our churches, we're allowed to raise one hand. But our Jewish friends, when they pray, lift up holy hands. You see, when we pray, we put our hands together like this. We don't expect to get anything. But our Jewish friends didn't clasp their hands together. They held their hands up. They expected to get something. Now, David was out in the wilderness. He was far from the temple, the tabernacle. He couldn't have the priest offer incense. He couldn't have the priest give it. So he said, Lord, you know my heart. And I'm offering up my prayer to you as incense. That little golden altar in the tabernacle right in front of the veil. The altar of incense represented prayer. That's a beautiful picture of prayer. You couldn't just burn anything on that altar. You had to use the ingredients and the recipe that God gave. Prayer is a very precious thing. And it needed to be ignited. There had to be fire to lift it up. And if a priest had been offering incense and he went home, the children would know it. They'd say, oh, Daddy's been offering incense. I hope that because I've been praying that there's some fragrance to my life because of it. David said, I'm going to give you my prayer as a sacrifice. Another sacrifice I think that we ought to remember is the priesthood. Philippians chapter 4, Paul is a prisoner in Rome. Paul did not have a mission board behind him. Paul wrote letters to people and told them what his needs were, and the church at Philippi sent Epaphroditus to bring Paul an offering to help him in his ministry and to meet his needs as a prisoner. The Romans didn't take that good care of their prisoners. Paul in Philippians chapter 4 in verse 10 says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Verse 18, indeed I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. What a beautiful picture. In fact, there are four or five pictures of what giving really is. He says, You got blankets, but those aren't blankets. It's a sacrifice to God. You sent money, but that's not money. It's a sacrifice to God. You sent to meet my needs. And as I look at this care package you sent me, I see an altar. And on that altar, I see your gifts offered up to God. You know, if I would just stop to realize that when the offering plate or the offering basket or the offering bag, whatever you use in your fellowship, goes by, that's not an offering plate. That's an altar. You remember what Malachi told the priests back in his day? He says, "You priests, you're blaspheming God's name." How are we blaspheming God's name? By what you put in the altar. You're not giving me the best. You bring the lame and the blind and you put it on the altar. You bring the sick and put those animals on the altar because you don't want to give me the best. Why don't you take those animals to your governor for a gift? See if he'd accept them. Isn't it amazing? We'll give to God what we wouldn't give to others. And so as a priesthood, what are we supposed to do? Bring sacrifices to God in worship to Him. Now quickly, how do we do it? Through Jesus Christ, pleasing to God. Through Jesus Christ, pleasing to God. Verse 5. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I cannot bring my sacrifices in my name. I have to bring it in the name of Jesus. And I cannot bring it to please myself. I come to please Him. A few weeks ago, I finished an intensive study of the book of Exodus to write a B-book, Be Delivered. And I was shocked. So, Harold, you've had this experience. You say, how long has that been in the Bible? You ever had that experience? You know, you're reading along, say, well, this must be the wrong translation. I mean, where did that come from? I was amazed to discover verse after verse where God said to the priests, lest you die. Lest you die. I thought to myself, if I were an Old Testament priest, how long would I live? For example, while they were taking care of the animals and the sacrifices, walking around in the tabernacle court, there was no floor, their feet got dirty. And of course, their hands got dirty. And God said, all right, we'll take care of that. There's a laver right over here, great big laver, great big tub. And you wash your hands and feet there regularly or you'll die. I would remind you, the priests did not get dirty by going to a tavern or some place of sin. No, they became dirty while serving God. Do we ever get defiled while serving God? We may. Do we ever pause for cleansing? We should. Would God kill us if we didn't? I don't think so. But that's not the point. I might kill my own power, my own walk with God. So if I don't keep clean, I can't bring my sacrifices to God. God also said, now you priests, you wear the right clothes. He gave them the design and everything for the clothing. So this is what you're supposed to wear. If you wear anything else, you'll die. Now what we wear to church in terms of our outer garments may not make that much difference. I've been in some services where I saw some people who probably wouldn't have dressed that way to go see the president, but that's their business. In Moody Church, we had street people come in off the streets. They wore only what they had. We were glad they were there. Prayed that they might get saved. But the Bible talks about the inner garments of the soul. Now, lay aside all these things, anger and wrath and malice, and put on humility. Well, now, we get dressed up for church. But do we dress ourselves inwardly so the beauty of holiness is seen in our hearts? God says you might die. Aaron had four sons. Two of them were killed. They hatched up a plot one day to take some fire into the presence of God, and it wasn't authorized by Scripture, and God killed them. Then the next verse says, Moses said to Aaron and his other sons, when you're ministering in the tabernacle, don't drink alcohol. Paul picked that up when he said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, if I try to bring sacrifices to God with my own zeal and my own talent and my own hype, instead of in the power of the Spirit of God, something's going to die. I don't think we take our worship of God seriously enough. In another place, it was tough to be a priest. In another place, God said to the priests, don't you dare come into the tabernacle to serve me if you've touched anything unclean. If you've eaten a dead carcass, you've defiled yourself. Don't come and serve me. Have we as priests ever gone to the house of God after watching something on television we shouldn't have watched or read something we shouldn't have read? Have we defiled ourselves in the automobile with a little family fight? And then we pull into the parking lot and adjust our halos and go in looking at people. Isn't that a beautiful family there? It's just so pretty. Now, I don't have to go on. You get the point. How do we do it? Through Jesus Christ to please God. Obey what He wants us to do. And why do we do it? Verse 9. For the glory of God, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him. What is the purpose of our worship? To demonstrate the talent of our choir? No. No. I thank God for talented choirs. The word proclaim here means to advertise. Worship is our way of advertising the glory of God. We're closing with one verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'll bet you didn't know this verse was in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 14, 23. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, now here's the priesthood, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy, that means the sharing of the word of God, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. When was the last time in our assemblies anyone fell on his face and cried out, I can tell from the worship here, God is among you. What are we? A holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. What do? Offer up spiritual sacrifices. Doesn't mean they aren't material. It means they have spiritual quality. How do we do it? Through Jesus Christ. Why do we do it? To bring glory to God. The highest and holiest privilege we have is the privilege of worship. We are a priesthood. Oh, Father, may we give you our best in the lives that we live and the sacrifices we bring, and be glorified for Jesus' sake. Amen.